Now, reflections on the Holy Father's apostolic exhortation, Vita Consecrata, as by now you see, cover an ocean of both insights and inspirations. In the last analysis, the way to profit most from the Holy Father's words is to meditate on them. My favorite definition of meditation is thinking in the presence of God. As we come to the closing sections of the exhortation, often very pointed and specific, and as you also noticed, strongly concentrating on the apostolic dimension of consecrated life. I cannot either repeat too often or overemphasize the fact that the apostolate is not essentially external activity. Here in context, our next question, having warned religious about adjusting the consecrated life to the culture of the nation or the society in which consecrated people live, he then asks, or we ask for him, he provides the answer. What does genuine enculturation require? Not too many years ago, these questions, I don't say would have been irrelevant, but not so crucially important as they are today. The culture in which we are living, and this we can say of most of the Western world, this culture is not what a safe negative. It is not favorable to or friendly to authentic Christianity. What then, in answer to the question, what does genuine enculturation require? It requires, and the Holy Father uses what some may think extreme language. He says this kind of, call it adaptation, to the culture in which consecrated life is established. The attitude should be like that of Christ our Lord. Talk about enculturation. This is God becoming man. He became man and walked among us in love and meekness. He preached the gospel without compromise, while respecting and building on, now watch it, on the genuine values of the people to whom we proclaimed the good news. No matter how unchristian, or as I've even said, de-Christianized a society may be, and no question, the United States of America is or are de-Christianized. Nevertheless, as Christ, so we are to, I don't say build our consecrated life on these cultural values, but know what they are. For example, if there is one characteristic of our culture, it is the great love of freedom. Another aspect of our culture, we are, by all counts, an affluent culture. Again, we are a culture in which individuals are so respected, even to an extreme. All of these can be positive values in our society. And we are to both recognize those positive values and then always, without one iota of compromise with Christ's teaching. I won't use the verb adjust. But then, enculturate our consecrated life according to the sound positive values in our society. Take the matter of freedom. Extraordinary independence in our society. And it's almost assumed that people are different. Over the centuries, you read or read about the highly and closely structured consecrated life. And we just take it for granted that there are responsible liberties within, for example, a religious institute. The risk, of course, and it's a risk, is that unless, and this unless is crucial, unless, no matter how Americanized we can be, how sympathetic with our culture, that our primary attitude of mind and response of will is to the mind and will of Christ. In our day, a strange statement. Consecrated persons are to become familiar with the elements, but watch it, elements of truth and goodness in the culture in which they are evangelizing. Over the years, especially by the beginning of the 60s, having so many students in my classes in theology from other countries, especially from Asia, realized. Well, I'm going to teach these priests and priests-to-be how to proclaim Christ when they go back to their home country. I better know something about, well, the religions dominant, say, in Asia. Hinduism, Buddhism, Shinto, Islam. It is indispensable, therefore, both for us as consecrated persons and for you in your apostolate for the sanctification of priests, to also ask our Lord that priests evangelizing in our own country or in other nations, that they remain absolutely faithful to Christ's proclamation of the gospel, but see and scrape, dig, find out what in these various cultures, in the different religions, is sound, authentic. Over the years in teaching comparative religion, I have found, at first to my surprise, though I just take it for granted, there is no one better equipped to evaluate, you name the religion, to repeat, Islam, Shinto, Hinduism. No one is better equipped to pass positive judgment on those religions than a believing and intelligent Catholic. You might say, what has this got to do with us, handmaids of the precious blood? It means, first of all, and how important this is to recognize that vocations to the consecrated life do not depend on, as we casually say, the ethnic background of people, their nationality, the country they come from, the language they may, say, have for a lifetime spoken. And by now, I can say this. I don't believe I've ever said this to you before. Thank God for the growing variety of, shall I call them, cultures that have been inspired by God and believe honestly that they have, because they do have, a vocation to your institute. In fact, I will dare to say, the more wide and varied the cultures, comma, the better, period. We go on. Does enculturation dispense from evangelization? Strange question. And this is where, to my sadness, in quoting the Holy Father, the answer, absolutely not. Those who talk about anonymous Christianity and discourage evangelization are not speaking the mind of Christ and the genius behind that term. Anonymous Christianity, may God have mercy on his soul, died a professed member of the Society of Jesus. You may have heard this. If you haven't, it's worth saying. If you have, it's worth repeating. The church's missionary work, evangelization, has been harder hit since the middle of the present century than ever before. I know what I'm talking about. Than ever before in the 20 centuries since Calvary. And this is the main reason in 1992, what else? The fifth centennial of the discovery of the New World. I was to give a series of lectures on the discovery of the New World by Christopher Columbus. You cannot imagine the amount of Columbus bashing in our media, books, TV programs, articles in so many magazines. What a terrible injustice for Columbus to have, hear the verb, invaded the New World and imposed Christianity on the loving, wonderful native, both North and South Americans. And we're living in a nation where, as parents tell their children, don't raise either religion or politics in conversation. Each person's religion is his or her own. I'm saying far more than my poor words may seem to imply. What is the Holy Father telling us? It is not a question of imposing our faith on others. It is not a question of coercing other people who are not either Christian or Catholic to become. And by the way, you become a full Christian only when you become a Catholic. This anonymous Christianity has deprived millions of the truth that Christ wants his followers to proclaim more than we shall ever know until we reach eternity. And this is one of the main needs of our priests, especially in our country. I live in Detroit, Michigan. For about 2 years, my ninth year now in Detroit, for about 2 years, I would walk about 2 miles from my residence to the doctor's office, then 2 miles back. I knew the exercise. Along the road that I walked were the main streets of the city. I thought I'd count on just one side of the street 14 storefront churches, you name the strangest titles of these churches. And the same Detroit in 2 years closed 42 Catholic parishes. Whatever you pray for, when you pray for priests, beg our Lord to give us priests, the zeal to evangelize, to proclaim Jesus Christ as he wants to be proclaimed, which is how, as he commissioned his apostles and chose Peter to be the head of the church which he, the Savior, had founded. How will I know? Pray that priests, beginning with bishops, may be zealous, really zealous, in evangelizing. And I would say the largest and nearest evangelization task needed is of our own beloved country. Now a very, as we say, relevant question. What is enculturating consecrated life? Says the Holy Father, this is the contribution that consecrated persons can make, and we could add, must make, to elevating and developing the culture of the people among whom they live. How much I could say, what little, what I could say, I will say. Why? First of all, now the truths of the gospel can become more deeply and more clearly understood. Again, the culture of a nation and our nation, except for the name United States, take it from a native, we are not a United States, except politically. The culture of a nation is elevated by the infusion of gospel truths, which thus become part of the collective personality of a people. All that the Holy Father is here telling us, notice what I'm doing, I'm applying both to ourselves and especially yourselves as consecrated and religious, dedicated to an interior, cloistered, prayerful life, but also and with deep emphasis, oh, what I would say, but I won't. How priests, God have mercy on us, how priests need to understand and put into practice their primary responsibility after offering Mass and forgiving sins, the highest, and I would say the hardest, responsibility of a priest is to Christianize, evangelize, to coin a word, gospelize the people among whom he lives and whom he is to serve, and not only say, offer maybe one or two Masses on a Sunday, and then, as I know, priests will spend hours every day bewitched in front of a television tube. We go on. What is the new evangelization? Holy Father keeps using this vocabulary. The new evangelization is the proclamation of the gospel as we approach the 21st century. It better be new evangelization, because other reasons, but one reason, as we approach the 21st century, we are now living, how hypnotized we can be by the society in which we live. We are living in a world that has become more powerfully anti-Christian, anti-Catholic than ever before since what we call the Age of Martyrs, to the dawn of the 4th century A.D. I've implied this, but I want to say it explicitly. Your community is to enter on a new age, under God remaining faithful, absolutely faithful, both to the teachings of the Vicar of Christ and to the charism of your founder. But a new era, because the needs for, shall we still say, the sanctification of priests, dear God, for the salvation of priests, the lowest figure that the Vatican allows me to use publicly is 7,000 priests leaving the active priesthood in our country since the close of the Second Vatican Council. can answer the question, what is this new evangelization? The teaching of Christ, especially in the moral order, remains unchanged. In one once Catholic college and university after another, how well I know, every single moral error condemned by Pope John Paul II in his document, Splendor of the Truth, contraception, abortion, adultery, fornication, right down the line. Most, what a statement. I'd rather die than have to say it, but say it I must. Most of our nominally Catholic colleges and universities are teaching precisely those moral errors. Someone, dear God, someone must still believe what Christ revealed and the Church has taught now for 2 millennia. And the final analysis, it depends, and I wish to emphasize, depends on bishops and priests. The task that you handmaids have is, I see you people praying before the Blessed Sacrament all day, all night. I say to myself, thank God. But your numbers must increase. The need, and I use these words deliberately, the need for miraculous grace for bishops and priests today is a matter of sheer record. Ordinary bishops cannot survive today. Ordinary priests cannot survive today. Not today. Either there are heroic bishops and heroic priests, not just verbally saying it, but meaning it, wanting to live the lives of martyrs, or the Holy See has told me more than once, borrowing a miracle, one after another of your dioceses in the United States have become extinct. I'd be out of my mind to talk this language unless I were absolutely sure what I'm sharing with you is the truth. What is new, now back to Pope John Paul, is the need for a deeply interior conversion. And go back to where we were more than once. May your Father please let up. All right, all right. We are sinners. But I tell you, the temptation when we use these words, we are sinners, is to put put the word sinners in quotation marks. The most important task in consecrated life today is a genuine, authentic, internal, now repeat the words of the Holy Father, conversion. Unfortunately, we have come to associate the word conversion with, well, you know what, from a life of sin to, well, no longer indulging in sin as I used to before. No, there's a conversion. There's one thing that Ignatius taught me, and he was speaking, writing in the 16th century, but for the centuries to come. The conversion is from living an ordinary, a casual Christian life to living, and I repeat the words, living a heroic life. Living a life of tireless generosity. Spending ourselves, exhausting ourselves in our service of God, and you don't have to walk out of Hamath Springs, I can assure you, to exhaust yourself in our Lord's service. Am I correct? For how long will your prayers or meditations here in chapel are? How long do they last? Is it 1 hour? Don't answer, but just think. Have you ever, during the 1 hour of meditation for the Blessed Sacrament, well, given in to or allowed your imagination to roam all over creation? Give me hard road work, digging in a mine, or hauling heavy boxes of metal in preference to spending 1 hour in really dedicated, concentrated, loving meditation. And as we know, it all depends, of course, on God's grace, but also on our own generosity. We continue. Evangelization is not only preaching the gospel and having people accept what is proclaimed. It must be a total conversion of mind and heart. That is now back to the vocabulary of the Holy Father. While the new evangelization demands that consecrated persons themselves live in intimacy with the Lord. And that is not pious rhetoric. Intimacy with the Lord. I think I should say it. What I'm doing in this conference is examining your conscience. Pardon me, examining our conscience, yours and mine. We can be dressed as religious. You, unlike myself, even having your head covered. Thank God. But what a difference that being, well, externally look like religious, talk like religious, and be considered a consecrated person, and being deep down inside consecrated, which means totally dedicated to the Christ who we believe called us. Call it recollection. Call it the spirit of prayer. Call it living in the presence of God. Whatever name you use, what a difference between the outside of each one of us. We look, oh, so consecrated. Even the dress we wear, it's consecrated garb. But what a difference. And speaking as a priest over these now 50 years, half a century, have had so many souls unburden themselves. Father, I've been a religious 20, 30, 40 years. As I look into my heart, I'm ashamed. That's what the Vicar of Christ is talking about. This is not psychology. This is undiluted Catholic spirituality. It's our minds and our wills, our intellects and our hearts that are to be consecrated, living therefore in God's presence, never for a moment, for one split second, doubting that anything ever happens in our lives. Never, never. Everything in our lives is always, always God exercising His mysterious providence to bring us as all He wants, close to His divine heart. There, that's our total commitment to the Savior is the condition for the Holy Spirit to convert people, not only to the gospel, but literally to Jesus Christ. I know too much theology to be playing with words. Why, after almost 2,000 years since God became man to die on the cross for our salvation, and could not have been plainer, proclaim the gospel to all nations. Why, after all these years, are there still so many who are not even nominally Christian? And so many even professed Christians and Catholics not more faithful in the practice of their faith. You may be surprised at my answer. A thousand reasons can be given. I think one of the main reasons is the lack of sanctity among consecrated persons. Do you hear me? I have struggled too many years, have tried too long to try to be, and God knows how weak and helpless I am. But I know one thing. We must give ourselves, and I mean this not verbally, but deep down internally, give ourselves totally to Christ and see Him at work in everything in our lives. Patience, as we all know, I trust, from the Latin word pati, which means to suffer. Lord, give me patience, we pray. Are we in our right mind when we're praying? Do we really mean it? There can be no patience without suffering. Humility. Christ could not have been plainer. He wants us to, like Him, be humble of heart. And as there's no patience without suffering, so there's no humility without humiliations. And you live in a religious community, so do I. You don't have to tap one of your fellow sisters. Sister, would you mind humiliating me? I'm sure I've said this before to you. For men religious to live together in peaceful, loving harmony is hard. I know. For women religious to live together in peaceful, loving harmony is impossible. For me, this is one of the clearest proofs of God's grace. As I said so many times, God bless you. I know women. All of this is God's way of drawing us closer to Himself and sanctifying us. But I've got to have a very clear faith. Everything, everyone, every which, everywhere, every who is part of God's providence to bring me closer to the heart of Jesus Christ. We go on. Strange statement, option for the poor. At the beginning of His public ministry, our Lord declared that He was consecrated by the Spirit and by the way When we speak of Christ as consecrated, we mean that literally. As human nature was consecrated with a divinity. Unusual language, but that's our faith. Our Lord declared that the Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity, consecrated him to preach the gospel to the poor. This norm has not changed over the centuries. One of the gravest problems in the United States for Catholics to be bona fide Catholics, for priests to be authentic priests, and for religious to be honest to God religious. One of the main obstacles to being the authentic followers of Christ that he wants us to be is the material affluence of our nation. Number one. Secondly, is the intellectual affluence of our nation. I'm not sure I ever asked you this question. There really are two questions. If I did, pardon the repetition. And just shake your hands this way or this way. Are all educated people intelligent? Next question. Are all intelligent people educated? Oh, what brazen buffoonery. Be with college degrees. Ooh, I like the pronunciation, PhDs. In a nation like ours, for us religious, to be authentic followers of Christ, we must be poor. And the poverty, remember, is not mainly or most importantly poverty in body. What's the wording of the first beatitude? Blessed are the poor in spirit. We go on. Consecrated persons should follow in Christ's footsteps and make sure that they too proclaim the good news to the poor. And as I'm trying to do, point out the apostolic dimension both of your own contemplative life and the apostolic dimension of the episcopate and the priesthood for whom you have been mainly instituted to pray and sacrifice for their sanctification. We are to be ourselves poor in spirit. I know what I'm talking about. The more gifted we are naturally, the harder it is to practice, and I mean this, the virtue of humility. And as consecrated persons, we will grow in sanctity only in the measure that we grow in humility. I've said this before, but as I told you, my favorite definition of a good teacher is one who repeats without boring. Thank you for not dozing off. We have been gifted naturally, and gifted, listen, supernaturally. I didn't used to talk this way 20 or 30 years ago, but I do now. We need to be poor in spirit by seeing ourselves in the eyes of God, and I mean this as nothing. And the last thing we should ever dream is, well, finally, I'm becoming a saint. You're becoming what? God have mercy on you. I just hope and ask our Lord here on the altar, not so much to make my words more clear, but to teach you what He wants you to learn. Seeing ourselves, and I mean this, as absolutely, utterly nothing. And even physically, that's what we were before we became who we are. Nothing. Reread St. John of the Cross. Anytime we think we are, well, better than someone else, we're in danger of losing, I mark my words, even the grace of God. Well, then, on the other side of the ledger, your apostolate is to pray and sacrifice for priests. How sadly well I know the empty seminaries, the loss of so many priests in our country, is not because of alcohol or women. No, it is pride. Pray that Christ may give His bishops and priests, and the higher their position, the more influential they are in the church, correspondingly deeper, selfless, utter, absolute humility. Now the Holy Father goes on to identify who the poor are, toward whom we as consecrated persons are to exercise our apostolate. The first and obvious implication from the following sentence is, this refers, well, to the materially poor, the afflicted, the oppressed, those on the margins of society, the elderly, the sick, the young, any and all who are considered and treated as the least. Whatever we should pray for, as a priest, that God may make me aware then my main responsibility in the priesthood is to serve precisely these people. But I'll carry this one step further. Priests who want to be faithful to the Christ who ordained them, there are exceptions, thank God. But in a nation like ours, the priests who are most afflicted, the most oppressed, who are treated as the least, are those who are trying to be most faithful to Jesus Christ, who ordained them. This would have been after, well, quite some time after the last time I was here in Hammer Springs. Spent 3 days with a prefect for the Congregation of the Clergy. Whatever you can do for these priests, and their number is increasing astronomically. I cannot, for obvious reasons, time being one, go into detail, exemplify, illustrate what I am saying. But the most afflicted, the most oppressed priests in a country like ours are those who sincerely want to be totally committed to Jesus Christ. They are sent to mental institutions. They are subjected to long, call them psychotherapy. Young men who want to be priests sincerely believe they've got a vocation. They go through a battery of psychological tests, turned down, oh, how specific I could be. Pray for priests and sacrificing for their sanctification. I would say, should especially be directed to those priests who are, in the most literal sense of the word, the poorest of the poor. To be continued. Lord Jesus, we thank you for calling us to the consecrated life. But Lord, keep the eyes of our minds open, open to reality. Help us to always fix our gaze on you. Keep our eyes from being so hypnotized by ourselves. Enable us as handmaids of the precious blood to sacrifice our lives to the limit in order that your bishops and priests and these the most trying times in Christian history might be bishops and priests who are living martyrs, shedding their blood of spirit out of love for you, who shed your blood out of love for us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.